All right, welcome to another episode of Large Popcorn and Two Slushies, Please. This is episode 4, and we are going to be discussing in detail one of our favorite movies, The Truman Show. This is your host, Swin, and your other host.
This is Danny calling in.
All right, so yes, this is a little bit different today because Danny is calling in. So this is our first podcast where we're not recording this from the same location. So bear with us.
Coast to coast. You're in New York, I'm in LA.
Exactly. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, so The Truman Show, one of our favorite movies, both of ours. And I think we wanted to start talking about it because we were making a lot of Truman Show references. I think you're trying to convince me that I was in The Truman Show for some reason.
Well, you are living in The Truman Show, and that is the reason why you can't leave the city you're in, Danny.
Yeah, so here, this is like a really elaborate reverse psychology con, and I really am in The Truman Show, or we're just recording a podcast.
Well, I mean, for you to be living in a movie, it would be ridiculous, Danny, so... But anyways, let's go over The Truman Show really quick. So, I mean, if you're not familiar with the movie came out in 1998. It's a movie directed by Peter Weir. It starred Jim Carrey, Laura Linney, Noah Emmerich, Natasha McElhone, and Ed Harris. And the basic premise of the movie was it's about a guy who has this reality television program based on him. And he has no idea that this is going on because he was adopted and his entire life was broadcast. And so the broadcast is basically him. And, you know, it just follows him as he comes to the revelation that, you know, maybe his world that he's always taken for granted isn't what he thinks it is. So, I mean, it's a really interesting movie because it was ahead of its time. And, you know, this was before reality television became a big thing.
Yeah, like you said, it's way before its time. There was only at the time, I think, maybe The Real World was on MTV.
Right.
That was it. Reality TV wasn't really a thing.
Yep.
And so it kind of ushered in more reality. I mean, it was kind of the start of a precursor of things to come.
Yeah, I think it predicted a lot of what was going to happen without us realizing it.
Yeah, it just took it to another level because Jim Carrey, yeah, at no time did he know the outside world. It was just the whole world that was created for him.
Yep.
So, but I wouldn't be surprised if the rate is going right now that if this actually happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're at that point in terms of reality television where if they wanted to take that next big step and up the ante, it would be something like The Truman Show or exactly The Truman Show. So,
yeah, in 1998, you were just like, oh, this is some cool, crazy concept.
Yeah.
It never could actually happen, but I think now in 2017, rather.
Considering how popular reality television is, yes.
Yeah, so basically, Jim Carrey's character, Truman Burbank, they really F with him psychologically. So if this really happened in real life, the guy would go insane. And there's parts in this movie where it almost feels like Truman Burbank is going insane, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, as he's figuring out things that he's always taken for granted are just lies, then he kind of loses it a little bit. I mean, especially when he finds out, like, his wife, his on-screen, quote-unquote, wife, is kind of married him with her fingers crossed and all these other things. He kind of loses it a bit because, you know, he's always felt like maybe that was at least true.
Yeah, he actually finds out that his wife really, like, hates him more than, not just doesn't love him, but really, like, despises him. So he kind of starts finally figuring that out. I don't see how the crossing your fingers is really necessary in the picture, right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she's living her entire life with this guy, presumably, for this TV show.
And right, I'm presuming that they've...
At that point, do you really need to cross your fingers? I mean,
yeah. And I'm assuming they've also been intimate, you know? So, You know, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, but they never show anything.
Yeah.
Curtains closed, some music plays, they don't show anything.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, assuming that he believed the life that he was living, I mean, you gotta assume that they were actually intimates for him to have believed all that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I was just kidding. That's a fun scene from the movie. So there's always, what's cool about the movie is there's always parts where they show the audience watching from TV, or there's like a Truman bar.
Yeah.
And those things are cool. So there's there was one where I think the security guard was watching and he's like, was upset that they don't actually show the intercourse take place.
Yeah, right.
So that's where a lot of the comedy comes from. And there's one thing that I like about this movie is that there is a lot of comedy. It's not as much as a normal Jim Carrey movie. It's not that, like, silly, goofy, Ace Ventura type comedy. And it's more from the characters around Jim Carrey. You're getting more of that, the funny stuff. But it's, like, little things of, like, glancing at the screen or, like I said, the audience watching on TV, the way they're reacting.
Right.
So it's a really funny movie, and then it's also a great drama and really philosophical movie.
Yep, I agree. The reason why I like this movie was I've watched it so many times, but at the heart of it is really just a love story, you know? And if you think about it, that's true. It's just this guy who's Truman, he actually fell in love with another actress that he wasn't supposed to, according to the way the directors of the TV show wanted. And then so the directors took that girl out, but in the process of doing so, like, that short moment that he had with that girl, it affected him for the rest of his life. He thought that the girl was going to Fiji, so for the rest of his life, he always was trying to go to Fiji, even though he was scared to travel. He tried to cut out pictures to help put together a facial representation of, like, the girl so you could kind of see her again. And, you know, his entire journey, like, throughout most of the movie is basically him trying to find the truth and also get back to this girl that he fell in love with so long ago.
Yeah, and they're trying to, like, it's showing that no matter how much they try to control everything around human beings, like, they're going to have their own thoughts, they're going to have their own desires.
Love conquers all sometimes, and yeah.
Love finds a way,
yes. So it has a lot of interesting themes, and not just that, but also, like, it brings up so much about, like, him accepting the world and, like, you know, us as people, like, how we accept things and how we reject different realities around us. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I have some small gripes though with some of it. Like, so the girl was obviously, you know, just it showed that Truman was attracted to her, and they didn't want him to be attracted to. They had already set up Laura Linney was going to be his wife. Like, when they were in college, when they show a throwback scene.
Right.
But somehow she was like sitting next to him at the library still after all that. And then for something that, like, it was so tightly controlled by Christoph, the creator of the Truman Show, which was played by Ed Harris. He did a phenomenal job. I think he's my favorite actor in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
He stands out. That was a slip up, and then also the dad being able to get back on set after they had written him off as having drowned earlier in the show. So, I mean, for a show that was that supposed to be that, like, tightly directed and conceived of, for that to happen.
Yeah.
I guess they had to find a way.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there has to be ways to move the story along, but I agree, like, if everything was that tightly controlled, you'd think that, you know, they would have taken the steps necessary to make sure that Truman really never found out. But then again, if you have a show that's running 24 hours every single day for however long Truman's been alive, maybe 20 or, I mean, 30-something odd years, you know, maybe you get sloppy.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts also, when they were showing, like, the different times where cast members, like, one of them, he jumps out of a present that was given to Truman.
Right.
Another guy parachutes down and tries to tell Truman that he's on TV.
Yeah.
Those parts were funny. Yeah, so I like all the behind the scenes showing on what's going on.
Yeah, they really thought of a lot of different things that you wouldn't think that they would have, but they really did.
Right. Yeah, and I guess once the show is, the movie is about building an entire set where you can control the weather and you're living in the moon, then you could probably have to suspend your belief for the little things.
Yeah, there's a lot of science fiction elements in there too. So what was your favorite scene? Like, what are some of your favorite scenes?
Yeah, so one of my favorite scenes would be when the dad, they first bring him back. So they come up with, they're trying to figure out early in the movie, or early on Truman Burbank's life, they were trying to figure out ways to keep him on this island that they've created, which is basically one big movie set. And so the way that they figured out to keep him there would be to make him afraid of the water so that he wouldn't dare to travel. And so what they did in order to accomplish that was to have his dad die from drowning when they're going out sailing one day. And
that caused an early trauma.
Yeah. That's some hardcore shit to be to a kid.
Yeah.
But the scene that I really enjoyed was showing that, how that happened, and then showing when the dad came, the dad was able to slip onto the set, and Truman sees him, and that starts sparking within him a desire. You know, he starts figuring out that things are not exactly what they seem, that he might be in a situation where reality is being controlled in some way, or being followed, or...
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine what was going through his head. But,
yeah, really emotional scene, for sure.
Yeah, so the creator decides to bring the dad back, the way that scene was filmed was, I think, masterfully done, just showing, for the first time, you get to see what Christoph is doing, manipulating the cameras, and directing it, and being able to control the fog even in the background and the music. I think it's a touching scene, and it's also one that's just like perfectly executed.
Yeah, I mean, up until then, you really only see Truman and the reality he's been given and him interacting with it. Only in that scene do you really see like how much Christoph is manipulating different elements around him.
What other scene would you think stands out for you?
I think one of my favorite scenes is like when Truman finds out that, starts realizing that his reality may not be what it seems, and they start playing that music. If you notice the intro today, the intro music is a little bit different, and it's because for the Truman theme, we took a song that is from when he started realizing everything. It really started when he started hearing people like following him, when his radio malfunctioned. He started hearing like crew members talking to each other, like, "Oh, Truman is making it right now on the street," and then he started freaking out a little bit. And then once he got to work, and then he started going through the turnstiles, and then like that turnstile scene, I really love that because as he's going through it, it's like he's kind of it was like an elegant way of saying like he's changing his views on everything, because you know, as you're going through those stores, you're in a way being transformed, I guess. So yeah, it was really interesting, like him seeing the elevator not being there behind, and just seeing like cast members drinking coffee and eating donuts, and then when he starts like, you know, just trying to stop the bus, like realizing everything is kind of purposely built for him because he has, in a way, this special control over everything. So I thought that was really interesting, and yeah, the humor in it's really funny too, because he like slaps a guy on the butt who's on a ladder, and then just to see if he gets an interaction from him, and obviously he doesn't, but you know, it's those little small things.
Yeah, I think Jim Carrey is a very likable character in this movie.
Yep.
And for him it was a departure from his previous roles where he had become the number one comedy guy.
Oh yeah, he was huge back then. Like Ace Ventura, yeah. 1 and 2, Dumb and Dumber, and I think he also did Cable Guy at that point, The Mask, right? I mean, The Mask was, if it had been done by anyone else, it would have been a horrible movie.
Well, he's been hurt too, right? I mean, it was basically him carrying those movies.
Right. That's true.
Huge successes. And so he's commanding $20 million a picture at this time.
Yep.
And, of course, he wanted to go on and try to then become, you know, once, I think this happens to a lot of comedic actors, is they achieve huge success in the comedy genre, and then they say, well, what else do I have to accomplish? Let me try to get some respect as a drama actor.
Yeah.
So that was his first time kind of going into that and making a big push into begin being taken seriously as a really good actor, because so many, I think, comedy actors, a lot of times they don't get their due.
Right.
I personally think it's a lot harder to act in a comedy. I know it's a lot harder to make a new comedy because you don't see that many already good comedy than it is any other film. So, you know, Robin Williams later on in the 2000s was able to accomplish this by getting a Best Actor Oscar for Good Will Hunting.
Right.
And this is Jim Carrey's attempt at being taken seriously. And I think he did a great job. He actually won a Golden Globe for this, which is, you know, the second biggest award show. The Academy Award is by far the biggest, but then Golden Globes is probably the second most popular award show for actors. And he won a Golden Globe, and he didn't even get nominated for an Academy Award. And then the next year, he won a Golden Globe for Man on the Moon, which he did, much better job, actually, than he did even in Truman Show.
Yeah.
And he still wasn't nominated for an Oscar, so...
Yeah, honestly, I think his best dramatic work was in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I know you haven't watched it yet, but I thought, like, if he would get something, it would be that one.
Yeah, I've seen Eternal Sunshine.
Oh, okay.
Those are my kind of movies. It's a philosophical movie, and that's what I like about Truman Show, the biggest thing. I watched it in the theater when I was, like, 14 years old when it came out, starting high school, and it was one of his movies that they actually showed in school at UC San Diego, like a philosophy class. So I guess that's why we paid so much tuition, John, for UC San Diego, so we can watch movies.
Right. It is all worth it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't complaining when I got to go to class and watch Truman Show. that's what I liked about Truman Show a lot, was that it was very philosophical. He was kind of trying to figure out, just like every other person in the world, what this life is all about, is there any meaning? He just had some more complications, and he had reason to be paranoid, because people were actually talking about him all the time, and everything was centered around him.
So, I mean,
I think, what did you think of the final scene, the way the movie ended?
Yeah, I was just going to go there, because I was thinking, like, you know, we should definitely talk about the final scene, because if anything, that's one of the scenes that really stayed with me, like, after watching the movie. And, I mean, it's basically, to describe it, is Truman at the end of the movie, he's decided to leave, and he doesn't know what's going on, but he wants to find the truth. So he's on a sailboat, and then he's venturing over the water, conquering his fear at the same time, because he's always been afraid of water. And then he keeps on going until finally he hits the end. And this is like the end of the dome of his world. And as he walks up the steps to the exit door, he's confronted with the creator. So, I mean, what'd you think about that scene, Danny?
That's probably number one, is that the whole movie is that final scene. Because it's very artistically done.
Yeah.
And it represents, like, for me, it represents, like, him going up those stairs and deciding to leave.
Right.
Kind of like, yeah, it was like going to the afterlife or going to
the next to another step. Yeah. Moving on.
The next step. Yeah. So, because for him to make that decision, he has no idea what the outside world is like.
Right.
He has no idea, like, it's like the ultimate stepping into your fears.
And, he also describes, like, when he talks to, like, that girl that Truman had a crush on, he tells the girl, like, this is the perfect world. the world that you live in outside is the sick world.
Yeah, so what him talking to Christoph is like a person talking to God, basically.
Yeah, and basically right. Truman leaving Sea Haven is like him rejecting kind of like the Eden, you know, in Adam and Eve. It's like man rejecting the perfect world and favor of some of a world where he has the choice to choose, you know, even if it's an ugly world, he wants that world. So it's like the fall almost, which is really interesting.
Yeah, it is really interesting. There's a lot of parallels to like living in a communist society where maybe your job and everything's are decided for you, or living in where you know, where you have more freedom. The United States is somewhere where you have the choice and maybe there isn't as much security, but here's freedom.
Right.
Right. It's the way it's set up.
And also that girl.
I also enjoyed on that last scene when he's going in the water and he's, Christoph is trying to get him to turn back, so he's turning up the storm, he's turning up the wind.
Oh, yeah.
And Truman is, like, fighting, and finally, for the first time, he talks to, he yells, "You're gonna have to kill me," knowing that there's someone out there doing this, controlling this.
Yeah.
So that scene always. That gave me the chills whenever I watched that. It's just a movie that has always stayed with me, that I've always enjoyed, and I go back to a lot because I just always find it really entertaining and thought-provoking.
Yeah, me too. It just kind of, the cherry on top is at the end of the movie, it shows that girl that he's always been fixated on, she's putting on her coat to go out and meet him. So, you know, it's nice that even at the end of everything, he... Even though he doesn't know it, but she is coming out to show that, you know, I guess love does conquer it all.
John,
so
you didn't stay till the end of the credits, did you?
What?
No, he gets out, and then Christoph comes there and I'm like, throw it off. It's over.
Oh, all right. That's messed up.
The girl gets there, but his head's like rolling on the floor. It's like kind of a sad ending, but I'm surprised you never heard about that.
Danny, I'm going to kill you. This is not true.
And I know you have a special Truman Show connection. You got a little memorabilia?
Oh, yeah. So, I guess back in the day when they were filming Jerry Maguire, they actually filmed a part of that movie inside the house I was growing up in. So, they actually filmed a pretty famous scene. Is if you're familiar with the movie, it's... Tom Cruise talking with Cuba Gooding Jr. And my house was actually used as Cuba Gooding Jr.'s house. So it's the scene where Tom Cruise is trying to keep his client, one of his football clients, and who is Cuba Gooding Jr. And Cuba Gooding Jr. wants Tom Cruise to show how much he's willing to do to keep him on. So it's the show me the money scene, basically.
Yeah, that's all you need to say, John. Everyone knows the show me the money scene. that's one of the most famous scenes in any movie now. It's like gone down in film lore.
Right.
So that's a cool claim. But then how does Jerry Maguire...
So I was supposed to have dinner with Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman at that time, but my family couldn't make it, so... They offered to give me Tom Cruise's autograph instead, and I guess they forgot to do that with all the production and everything like that. So what happened was the assistant producer or the producer of the movie ended up going working on the Truman Show afterwards, and then sent me a autographed shirt from Jim Carrey as a result. And back then, obviously, the Truman Show was still being made, so I didn't know what the movie was about, but it ended up being a really cool thing in the future. And plus, Jim Carrey was huge back then, so to get a signature autograph from him, you know, it was a lot cooler than getting one from Tom Cruise, especially back then.
Yeah, so if you guys want to see John's cool t-shirt that I'm about to steal and wipe, and I'm going to cross out Jonathan and write Danny on it, on our Instagram page, right?
Yep, it's on there.
Cool. So overall, we definitely would recommend Truman Show if you haven't seen it before. I think it's an underrated movie, in my opinion.
And honestly, like, it's one of those movies that, you know, it's probably underrated, but it still stands the test of time. You can watch it today and still get as much enjoyment out of it as we did watching it back then. And it's still relevant. That's the thing.
For sure. It kind of has a Pleasantville vibe. Have you seen the movie Pleasantville?
No.
That's another movie that is very much forgotten, that has a lot of philosophical implication. And yeah, I think something we're going to need to review later on, John. I'm going to have to get you to watch it.
Yes, we have a lot of homework, but yes, I agree. It's a possibility for a future podcast. But yeah, that wraps up The Truman Show. So it's a definite recommend if you haven't seen it yet. It's still a fun movie to watch, and it's still one of our favorites, even after all these years. So definite recommend. So please stay tuned for our next episode, and please subscribe to our YouTube and our podcast for future updates. We loved having you here with us, so thank you.
In case I don't see ya, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.